Thank you, Kyle, and thank you all for being here tonight. I am very encouraged by this week. It's been just amazing to hear the different lessons, to see the men get up and preach and teach and take different approaches, and I love it so much, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to present for you tonight a lesson about Jesus, the judge. You know, there's a lot of judging that happens. Some of it good, some of it, a lot of it not so good. But when we talk about Jesus the judge, I think there's a little bit of, mystification. People aren't sure. They know Jesus is the judge, but what does that mean? And how do I? So I want to kind of demystify Jesus the judge a little bit tonight. So let's take a look and let's start with something real basic. What is a judge, right? So what is a judge? Well, we can look to our humanistic and secular and understand a little bit about what it is. Let's look at the U.S. court system for a minute, right? What is a judge? Well, a judge is somebody who's in a position of authority, right? There's somebody who presides over a trial, and their goal is to maintain order in that trial. They're knowledgeable about the law and about how to apply the law in different situations, in different circumstances. They're a fact finder. They know how to review evidence, and they look at the whole picture to really understand what's going on. And ultimately, if it's a case with no jury, it's a judge, bench case, as they would call it, they pass judgment. You know, we live in a society where this is a good thing. Our government is established, or supposed to be established, for the good of us. But when we think about the authority and power that a judge has, even here, secularly, on this earth, it's a little scary. You know, look at this quote here. Judges, this comes from the NAACP.org website, and it's about knowing your rights and the role of judges. Judges in federal courts, from district courts up to the U.S. Supreme Court, have the final say on issues that have an effect on the lives of every American, including basic civil rights, religious freedoms, voting rights, affirmative action, and in some cases, life or death. That's some power. That's some authority. Every American can be impacted by these judges. We'll come back to that here in just a minute. What makes a good judge, though? Right? What makes Socrates have this quote? Four things belong to a judge: to hear courteously, to answer wisely, to consider soberly, and to decide impartially. So, kind of break some of these down, right? Got to have a bit of intelligence with it. You got to understand the law, how to apply it, some respect, authority. You got to have some justice and righteousness. Even men of this world understand the importance of having a judge that does these things. Socrates was not a religious man in any way, shape, or form. So what are some of these characteristics of a good judge, right? We saw what Socrates had to say. Well, we can extrapolate that a little bit more. We can see that intelligence, we want you to understand the law, understand have respect for authority, have respect for the law, strive for justice and righteousness. Humility. I think that's something that a lot of our judges and folks, and eventually in those higher positions, they start to lose some of that. Impartialness and integrity. You know, think about the conversations that are happening, even just in the last 5 years, around a new Supreme Court justice being needed, right? Like, let's look at those. What are the questions that are asked? How are they going to vote on the issues? Right? What's their track record say about them? Are they consistent, or do they bounce back and forth? You know, are they going to push an agenda? We don't want them to push an agenda that's not our agenda, and vice versa. Are they Republican or Democrat? And do they vote as such? Or do they look at those pieces? You know, as a Christian, we ask even a deeper question. Does their life viewpoints align with Christian viewpoints in the Bible? You know, these questions about our Supreme Court, they are very important questions. They're questions that need to be asked. But that in itself demonstrates a flaw in the system. Not necessarily the court system itself. We have to make decisions within the confines of being human, meaning I can't read the minds of everybody in this audience. But that's exactly it. Our court system, I'm sure, has room for improvement, don't get me wrong. But they're not perfect. Our decision process isn't perfect. They're lacking so many things that make a perfect judge. So what makes a perfect judge? Well, what makes Jesus the perfect judge? Well, let's use some of these same basic things that we just looked at. Intelligence. Does Jesus possess intelligence? Yeah, he sure does. He's both God and man. He understands our woes. He understands what it means to live as us. But at the same time, Hebrews 1 in verse 10 says here, "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." He was there in the beginning. He laid the foundations. Do you think he understands a little bit about how the world works? He created you and me. Do you think he understands a little bit about men and women and the way that we should behave? Yeah, just a little bit. By a little bit, I mean everything. He has full understanding. Well, you know, what about his respect for the law and authority that we talked about? Well, he has a devotion to the Father's word and a devotion to the law and keeping it. Look at John 5. In verse 30, and we'll circle back to this verse a little bit later and some verses around it because they're important. But John 5, in verse 30, Jesus says, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I don't seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Jesus said, I'm not judging because I want to. I feel like it. It's the good thing. It sounds like a great thing to do in the moment. No, he's making those decisions based off of what the Father has revealed. I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I'm not doing it of my own will. I'm doing it because of the Father's. He's not okay with surface level judgment either. Look at Revelation 2, verse 23. You know, Jesus, as the perfect judge, not only does he understand the world, men, women, those people, but he has a fundamental understanding of the heart. He says in Revelation 2:23, "I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works." Jesus doesn't leave stones unturned. He knows it all. Yeah, well, I mean, is he going to have humility, though, right? Like, as our judge. He gave up heaven to live as us, to die for us. Look at, again, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Yeah, he's got humility. He is the definition of humility. He's what we should all strive to be. Yet he has all of these other attributes. What about, is he impartial? Does he have integrity? Well, our scripture reading that we heard, right? And again, thank you, Kyle, for reading that. He has the right judgments. They haven't changed. They're the same judgments. They're available for anybody to view. We have an entire Old Testament showing us God's track record, if you would. And if we want to understand, which we should, where he sits on any subject, we have a fully revealed word that hasn't changed. It hasn't misled. It hasn't done anything. It doesn't flip-flop. It remains consistent and the same. We can see in all this that Christ is clearly the superior judge. If there's anybody who I want to sit at my trial, it's Christ. He understands me. He knows what I've been through. He's laid out everything that I need to know. I know his stance on everything. That's amazing. When a lot of folks walk into a courtroom, they're like, I'm not sure where things are going to end up. We read stories of people going to jail that were innocent. People being released because of a technicality. Our Lord and Savior, none of that flies. And that is amazing. And something that should encourage us every day. We're going to see that here in a minute. So, okay, yeah. Jesus, yeah, I see he's a fantastic judge. He's awesome. But Scripture talks a lot throughout about God judging us. But you're saying Jesus is just, who's going to judge us? That's a fair question. Well, let's turn back over to John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, in verses 22 and 23, it tells us here very clearly, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." So who has judgment been given to? You and me? Are we the judges? Well, no. For all the reasons that we just saw that Jesus is the perfect judge, I wouldn't want me to be the judge. I wake up grumpy, guys. I'm sure that some of you do too. I'm man, and I'm fallible. Christ isn't. Jesus is the judge, not because he desires it, not because he wanted that, but because it's the post that he was given. It's the post that he excels at. Look, because we are not all-knowing, because we are inconsistent, we don't know the hearts. We can be hypocritical. Our track record isn't always the same. If you're here and you're a Christian, your track record hasn't always been a good one. But Jesus is. So look at, real quickly, turn over to James 4 with me real quick. Just to kind of bring this point home. In James 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." We need to not judge one another. Well, I don't judge my brother. Yeah, I don't like what that guy's doing. See that piece right there that I just said, that was covered in James chapter 3, because that's the tongue, right? We need to be mindful of how we approach situations and the things that we do. And we'll get to that here in a minute. Jesus was given judgment. Turn back with me to John 5. I want us to read all of John 5. We're just going to read. We're going to pick up in verse 24. So we saw in 23 that the Father judges no one, committed all judgment to the Son. Sorry, that's verse 22. 24, most assuredly I say to you that he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can in myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus judges according to what was delivered to him. What he hears, he judges. The day of judgment is appointed as well. We see that in Acts 17 and verse 30. But there's something I want to point out here in this verse that I've got up here. I've left this up here the whole time, and it's just one verse that I've left, and I've read a whole bunch of others. For the Father judges no one, but has committed how much judgment? All judgment. All judgment. That's a key point here. Because when is judgment? Most folks probably said in their mind, at the end of days. Well, yeah. But there's more than that. All judgment. Remember that. What's going to judge us? Well, that one's pretty easy. God's word's going to judge us. Look at John chapter 12 real quick. John chapter 12. We're going to read verses 48 through 50. So John 12, 48 through 50 reads, he who rejects me, Jesus speaking, and does not receive my words, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Recognize a couple things in here that's pretty amazing, right? There's no differentiator between sinner and saint in this. Jesus is judging all, right? But it's not just, it's his word that judges him, right? The word of God is that final say. That's where the judgments of Christ have been revealed. And note that Jesus says here, the goal is eternal life. He's judging for the purpose of eternal life. I know that his command is everlasting life. He gave me a command. That command is everlasting life. That's encouraging to us. We have a perfect judge who wants to judge us worthy of everlasting life. It's his word that judges us. In John 1, verse 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus' word, the words that he spoke, will judge us in the last day. Now, I mentioned in the previous slide that Christ has been given all judgment. I did that for a reason. In Scripture, there's actually a couple of different judgments that are discussed. One is the day of judgment, right? So if we look at Matthew 12:36, we can see, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account in the day of judgment.
Or, as it is appointed for man to die once, but after this is the judgment. We can clearly see that this is judgment day. This is a day we will give an account. There is a reckoning day. You will answer for the things that you did. But there's also daily judgment. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Well, that's not talking about the judgment day, though that day is also true and righteous altogether. That's talking about day to day, how we live, the choices we make. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Again, not talking about an end of day, end of time, judgment, reckoning, but in our day-to-day decisioning, how are we making judgments? Now, here's a shocker. That word judgment, and I'm looking just at the New Testament, it's the same word. It's the same word in the Greek language. That's why I say Jesus has all judgment. What do you mean, Ty?
Well, he has the day of judgment, but he also commands our daily judgment. He commands that we listen, follow, guide. Think of, what is a judgment?
It's a decision that you make. Right? It's I'm going to do this. I'm going to look at something and make a decision one way or the other. I'm going to judge this.
Jesus owns that judgment too. We need to let him own that judgment.
In the last day, Jesus has fully revealed his judgments and what it means, right? Jesus expects us to use his judgments in our daily lives. His judgments have been laid out for us in Scripture. You know, there's not going to be any surprises on the day of judgment. No courtroom brawls, right? Because it's all laid out. Now, I say no surprises, but wait a second. In Matthew chapter 7, it seems like there's some folks that are surprised. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Done many mighty works? She said, I never knew you.
Are they surprised?
Yeah, sure. But they're ignorant. That they're choosing in this life to not follow the judgments of Christ.
Nobody should be surprised where that leads you.
We have to align our day-to-day judgments. Christ has revealed all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 says that. So if we align our judgments day-to-day, the choices that we make to Christ's judgment, what he's already laid out for us, then the day of judgment, that will be one of the most glorious days for us. Because Christ has promised it. He's made a judgment about it. He's told us that's the case. I want to take just a few more minutes here. And I want to talk about a depiction of judgment in Scripture. Let's read through this real quick. Turn over with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Let's read this together. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on the right, but to the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. And the righteous will answer to him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry when and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger, or naked, and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to see you? And the king will answer and say, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did to me. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick, in prison, you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, in prison, and did not minister to you? He will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This judgment day depiction that we have here, what was the judgment, the final judgment, based off of? Well, it's about what they did in life. It's about, well, let's move ourselves forward to the day of judgment for just a moment. What are we going to be judged on? What we do today. What you do right now. Being here tonight, judged on that. Not being here, you can be judged on that too. There might be a reason. Right? But we need to recognize that the decisions that we make, the things that we do right now, did they align to Christ's word, his judgments that have been revealed? Did we help when we could help? Did we encourage when we could encourage, visit when we could visit? Or did we cut down, hurt, neglect? Now, think about this for a moment. What made the judgment? Both the sheep and the goat here. When did we? And the list goes on. So what made the judgments of the sheep better than the judgments of the goat? They were older, wiser sheep. That's what it was, right? No? They went to college. They were well-educated sheep. Very fine, distinguished. No? They were very passionate about it. Well, maybe, but pretty sure strong convictions isn't what drove them or what. Or not. It's not the end all. I know what it was. They were louder than the goats, right? They made a bigger uproar, caused bigger friction. No. It was the other. They just wanted to not rock the boat, just let things smooth. Is that where it made their decisions better? No, clearly not. Clearly not. It's because they heard the Master's voice and they followed in all that they did. See, if we remove Christ from the picture, what makes it our voice, our judgment, better than another? The answer is nothing. We're equal if we remove Christ from the picture. Your judgment isn't any better than somebody else. You're just being arrogant. But if you align your thoughts, your feelings, your judgments with Christ, well, they're no longer your judgments. They're Christ's. And as we saw, he's the perfect judge. He's knows all. He understands all. He's revealed all to us. That's why we have to align our judgment with Christ. Does this mean in the end of the day, like Ty, you're saying that Christ's judgments are revealed? Yep. We can know where we stand with God and where our judgment will end up at any point in time. We can know that right now. You can know that. Because it's been revealed. What does that mean? I don't have a choice? Does that mean I'm not going to have the ability to, like, Christ has already made his decision whether I'm going to heaven or hell? Not at all. He's revealed how to live. What choice will you make today? See, these sheep made a choice when they saw that person hungry, when they saw that person falter, when they saw that person naked. They made a choice to fully take on Christ's judgment in everything that they did. No, your judgment day isn't already decided. You get to decide. See, the judgment's already laid out. You already can know. And that is one of the most blessed things as a Christian for us. See, we've all got to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is no alternative. We don't get an option to say, I'm going to take jail time and not get judged. I'm going to plea deal. No, we're not going to get a plea deal. We all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ and answer for the choices that we've made. We're going to receive what is due. We already saw Christ knows exactly what is due. He knows exactly the judgment to make. It will be perfect judgment, full understanding, impartial. There's no escape from this judgment. And that's a blessing. I don't think a lot of folks realize how much of a blessing that is. Can you imagine having an unrighteous judge waiting for you at the end of the day? Or how about just one of our Supreme Court judges who get to choose whether you... No, I wouldn't either. Christ is perfect because, again, he came for salvation. He came to bring us home. And he's laid it all out for us. There's nothing hidden in his word when it comes to judgment. There's not going to be any surprises. And so, 2 Timothy 4. Turn over to 2 Timothy 4 with me. Judgment Day should be something we look forward to, not fear. It should be something that is encouraging. It should be an amazing expectation for us because we have a perfect, righteous judge. In 2 Timothy 2, verses 7 and 8, Paul here says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now you think God whispered in Paul's ear, hey, you're saved on judgment day, don't worry about it. No. He knew because he can read the word. He can understand what God presented. He had confidence because the judgments of God are revealed. We just have to abide by them. And we can have that confidence. He understood that God knows our hearts. Paul understood that he knows our minds and that he's already laid out for us what to do and that Paul was doing it. Now, we have his example to understand that we must align our thoughts, our decisions, our day-to-day judgments with Christ. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, but you understand what I'm speaking, you understand there is a judgment day, you understand that the decisions that you make day-to-day will impact that judgment day, and Christ, the righteous judge, will stand there in that day and cast final judgment. If you understand those things and you're choosing not to become a Christian, I want to encourage you to change your heart. That's a fearful, scary thing to be living in. You know, and if you're a Christian, same thing, right? Maybe you've been living in sin. Maybe you've been casting your own judgments rather than aligning them to Christ. See, the goats They cast their own judgment. That person's not worth my time. I'm too busy. If you're casting those judgments, and you recognize it, and you're continuing to do it, you know how I said we can have confidence. I don't just say that because I feel like saying that. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 with me. Hebrews chapter 10. Just like Paul having a expectation of the righteous judge and the crown of righteousness. In Hebrews 10 and verse 26, it says, if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, we know the answers. We've read and understand what God wants of us. If we sin willfully after receiving that knowledge, there no longer remains a sacrifice for us, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. We can know one way or the other. If you're here tonight and you're afraid of judgment day, self-assess. You shouldn't be. Judgment day is going to be an amazing day for those who follow the Lord. How do I know? Because He's told us. And He's the righteous judge. He knows exactly what needs to be done. The gospel call is to salvation. You can have the confidence of Paul or the confidence of our Hebrew writer talking with the Hebrews. The choice is yours. And that's the most amazing thing. You're here tonight. You're alive. And you can still make that choice. Because as we saw in Hebrews 9, there's a day that man's going to die. And after that, the judgment. You don't get a second chance. So let's make it the right choice tonight while we can. If there's a need, if there's somebody who's in sin, we're here to help. Please make it known while we stand and sing.